Well, it's good to be back because it's always good to be back. That strange thing that sort of you don't know what you have until it's gone works in very short periods of time. And not that I didn't have a great time last Sunday, and I know that you did as well. I'm just really pleased to be back. And as I was looking at where we were going to be thinking today as far as the lectionary goes, it's fascinating to me that it came so shortly after my opportunity to attend graduation for the twins and hear what some people are doing and see what honors have been won and all of that. I found it fascinating. I was allowed to present a small award at the commencement or the cap and gown ceremony, I guess they call it. And they made an announcement that the Leboldus High School students had won awards that they knew of, which obviously didn't include some that hadn't been awarded yet or scholarships and such that come through perhaps someone's company or a parent or some other connection, of $175,000. And I just thought, if there is a sign that this generation is perhaps in good hands, it's that the generation we're part of is willing to give them money so they'll go to school, which I thought was very interesting. But listening to them as they make this transition from one thing to another, one of the things that came up often was, now I won't have anybody to tell me what to do all the time. And I just thought, you've never had a job, have you? Because really, school, when it comes right down to it, while you're certainly told what to do, is not quite as constraining as most jobs, if nothing else. Most jobs take up more of your time than high school does for most high school students. And I was thinking that we often are under the impression that something is in a particular way, and we never really look at that impression until we're pushed to, which makes sense. I mean, we tend not to be aware of the regular run of our lives because it's just known. You know, the proverb that says a fish doesn't know about water. You know, there are all kinds of things in our lives we don't really notice or we don't really think about until there's some triggering action. And for many of us, the triggering kind of action is something like what Jesus says in our Matthew reading, where he says something that for us, particularly at our end of history, we find absolutely incomprehensible. And we look at the last couple of verses, or three verses that were read for us, and in this translation it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Well, we think, well, that's wonderful, we could all use rest. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And we instantly bristle at that notion, assuming we know what a yoke is. This has nothing to do with eggs, which is the closest I could come up with to some kind of a joke about yokes. Was perhaps something along that line. Heather had a couple that were much better than I could have come up with, and I've already forgotten them. So imagine the best pun you can, and there you go. That can be Heather's. But we look at this, we say, "Take my yoke upon me." That's crazy. I don't want a yoke. I don't want something. I don't want burdens put upon me, light or not. And then we start thinking about it. And we say, "But I don't want a yoke." And then we look carefully at our lives, and we realize that, well, maybe we don't want one, but we have at least one already. And we probably have several. And in this case, yoke, I mean, because obviously Jesus isn't talking about a whittled piece of wood to help us carry water, which is about the only place that we see humans using yokes for the most part, is to carry water. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the metaphorical sense of yoke, which is responsibilities, jobs that we have to do, things that we are tasked with to accomplish, whatever that might be. And you but I might join in with a sermon title, "But I don't want a yoke." Do you have children? You've got a yoke. One per kid. And then an extra one for just children overall. Because they're a responsibility that you have. There's something that you need to do. If you have a job, you have a yoke. If you have responsibilities in the community, you have a yoke. And for us to say that we don't want one is just kind of silly. And yet, I understand that silliness. It's something that I fall into all the time. We just think that something new may or may not have any relation to what we already have until we start looking at it from this perspective, that yes, we do have yokes. And if we want to press the metaphor a little bit, and I think in an appropriate way, our past, for many of us, is a yoke. Many of us carry around mistakes we've made in the past, responsibilities that we picked up at a time that seemed to make sense, and now are nothing more than an onerous, wearing job that seems to have no point, but we don't know how to get rid of it. We all have these kinds of things in our lives. And when we look at this passage of Scripture from that perspective, not from the perspective that says we are going to take something and put it upon us and we don't have anything like it before, but rather look at it from what Jesus is actually saying. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Well, but he's talking about a yoke. How can that be restful? Well, I came across a fascinating historical, I don't know what the word is, moment or something that I hadn't occurred to me until I first read it. And I think I may have shared this with you before, possibly the last time we talked about yokes. And if you want, you can make an excellent case to say that the primary cause of the end of slavery in Western Europe in Roman times was the invention of the yoke. Before there was a yoke, and we all, in this case, we're talking about a yoke for a horse. Before there was a yoke, a piece of wood that's carved so a horse can take the weight of whatever it's pulling on its shoulders, they simply tied a rope basically around a horse's neck, which it still works, and allows a horse to do about five times the work of a person. The problem is that a horse eats about five times as much as a person, so the economic benefits sort of balance each other out. But with a yoke, where the weight, where the pressure is on the horse's shoulder so it's not choking itself, it can do about 10 times the work of a person. And suddenly it's no longer economically sensible to keep slaves to do manual labor that a horse can do. And our own views of slavery notwithstanding, in the times of the Romans, when the yoke was first invented, it was primarily an economic arrangement. They were just like horses, they were considered anything else that did work. A properly designed yoke doubles the amount of work that a horse can do. And if we want to look at this metaphor as not just taking a yoke upon us, but a yoke that's custom made for us, instead of us trying to take all these other jobs and responsibilities we have and carry them as however we can, hanging off our belts, and it's like when you, women tend not to do this, but men, when you go to the shopping, you know, you go to the supermarket, and the idea is to bring all your bags in one trip. I have no idea why this makes sense, but I've talked to all kinds of men, and just like me, you think, well, of course, because, you know, you want to save those 11 seconds for I don't know what. But when you have that visual image of, in my case, myself, or perhaps somebody you've seen, with these massive handfuls of shopping bags that you can maybe carry from the car to the house, and certainly no further than that, because it's just crazy. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's saying, this is what we're carrying around. These great handfuls of bags that aren't balanced properly, that aren't making any sense. He says, just get rid of all that stuff and take this yoke upon me. You're working already. You've taken up these responsibilities. You're caring for children and for your relationships and your jobs and all of those things. You're doing all this already, but you're doing it in a really poor way. If you take my yoke, Jesus says, which is custom made for you, you'll be able to carry all of these things and more besides, without that feeling of chaos and counterproductive work. I remember the first time I put on a backpack that had a proper hip belt. I did backpacks before, but if you've ever been around If you've ever seen somebody carrying a massive amount of weight on a backpack, look at their waist. And I'll guarantee you, they've got a hip belt. And the first time I ever put on a good H-frame backpack, so with a rigid frame in it, with a 4-inch hip belt, I thought, you know, I could carry a house. It makes such a difference when you take something that is designed for the job and fitted for you, which is what a good hip belt is when it's properly tightened up. And suddenly, something that you couldn't carry before, you can carry all of that and more besides. Jesus is offering us that opportunity. And it's not a one-time thing. There was a time, I'm sure, for all of us when this, whether it was from this passage of Scripture or not, but from this sense of we will put Jesus in control of what we're doing and we'll carefully look at our responsibilities and we'll bring him in on those, and suddenly we realized that it was working so much better. That we'd taken the yoke that Jesus had put upon us, we'd looked at what all the things that we thought we needed to do, all those should-haves and ought-tos and all of that that create weights and things we need to carry. And we looked at them from Jesus' perspective and we narrowed them down to the things that we needed to do from what he said. And there was still lots to do, but suddenly we could do it. And it was comfortable in a way that it wasn't before. It's not that the work went away, because the work doesn't go away. But we're doing the work that only we can do. We're zeroing in on that. And it's a wonderful thing. And if you're like me and like many of us, that lasts for a period of time, and then we realize that we've suddenly been picking up this and picking up that. And we need to come back to Jesus to have our yoke redone. Maybe we've gained a little weight and it doesn't fit quite as well. I don't know where the metaphor breaks down, but whatever it might be. We need to come back to Jesus now and then and see what's the yoke that he has for us. Because the yoke that Jesus has for us never means giving up the responsibilities that are only ours, that only we can do. Jesus never says, don't care for your family. What Jesus may say is stop trying to work so hard at being impressive to other people. Stop saying yes to things so people will think you are of value, because you are of ultimate value already. You don't need to do that. And when Jesus fine-tunes the work we have, when Jesus custom-fits our work to us and us to our work through this yoke, we suddenly have that feeling of doing exactly what we're supposed to do and enjoying it in a way that we maybe didn't before. Human beings need to work. It is so rare to find a human being who can be happy in true idleness. But we need to do work that's meaningful for us, that makes a difference, and that's blessed by God. We may not want a yoke, but we've already got some that aren't cut very well. We've already got some things we're carrying without even using a yoke at all. So why don't we, instead of saying we don't want something we already have, why don't we admit it and invite Jesus to give us that yoke that makes everything make sense? It's not a complicated process. It's sometimes painful to have to look at what we've said we would do or hoped that we could do and realize that from God's perspective, it's just not that important that we do that. And sometimes we just have to let go of things. Sometimes we need to revisit our responsibilities and say, you know, I've done this for a long period of time, and now it's time for somebody else to do it. And whatever enjoyment I get from it will be more than repaid by the enjoyment I get from doing exactly what I'm supposed to do now. We say we don't want a yoke, but when we understand what Jesus is talking about here, we realize that we do want one. We want something that makes it as easy as possible for us to do those things that only we can do. To fulfill God's call upon us in a way that isn't exhausting, that isn't demoralizing or depressing, but rather is energizing in that way that even at the end of a long day of physical work, when you're tired, when you're even exhausted, but you have that sense of, I accomplished what I needed to accomplish today. Today was a good day. We can have that every day. But only if we take the right yoke upon us. But only if we take what Jesus has said, this is what you need to do, only you can do it. And I will help you do it in a way that it'll be even better than you thought it could be. I do want a yoke, but I want the right one. I want a yoke that's fitted for me by a master craftsman, not this thing that I sort of cobble together and sort of pry out of the woodwork or whittle down something that doesn't quite fit. I want a yoke that makes me as efficient, as effective as possible. And that's the yoke that Jesus is offering us.